Elliot Friedman is the latest to chime in on the Mitch Marner situation, guys. And in his latest edition of 31 Thoughts, and this is a sign that hockey season is just around the corner and that the National Hockey League is starting to drive content again. Elliot's 31 Thoughts, which we all read each and every week, is back. Thought number two, with apologies to you if you're a Vancouver Canucks fan, I'm skipping right over number one and Brock Besser because, quite frankly, the Canucks play 3,000 miles away from us. Number two, and I'm going to read it verbatim, and we'll break it down. Mm-hmm. It is impossible to write or talk about Marner without offending someone. So here is my attempt at a bias-free take. It's tense and personal. My belief is Toronto is willing to go to an $11 million AAV, but only if he signs for 7 years. I'd heard both sides might agree to 2 years, then let arbitration sort it out, but a few sources threw cold water on that. I mentioned during a radio hit last week the rumor that Marner's representatives pitched a 3-year contract with a structure similar to the Meyer-Werenski setup, with the third season as high as $15 million. However, I'm told that was several months ago and is no longer relevant, although both sides have continued to explore that kind of an option. I don't sense things are anywhere close. Elliot Friedman, thought number two of his 31 thoughts on Mitch Marner. And I started to see a blow up on Twitter about Mitch Marner before I actually read 31 thoughts yesterday. And so I traced the blow up on Twitter back to this. Guys, we are in a situation now in this capped universe where teams can no longer use coming like they were able to out of the 04-05 lockout, the backsliding deals to mitigate average annual value, AAV. And because I think restricted free agents coming out of entry level with no arbitration rights yet are looking at the world of sports and seeing that you're being told at 29, 30, 31 year old, they are trying to crack the jackpot, these superstars, now before they get aged out. And they would prefer shorter term on their second contract at as high a dollar figure as possible so that it sets them up for unrestricted free agency at the age of 26, 27, where they can then go out and get 7 or 8 year contracts that take them to age 32 or 33. And I think that that's the way they've identified being able to maximize the amount of money they can make from about age 21 to age 32, 33. Mitch Marner, it would seem, based on Elliot's report, Joel, is playing hardball here. And one would sense at this point that this is going to drag. And if Mitch learned anything from William Nylander, he learned that the longer Nylander sat, the higher the number went. And this is all about money.
I personally think he has a right of what he's doing. I'm a huge Leafs fan. I get it. But he just saw Nylander's case. And a guy that sat out that long, obviously his value went up. He got more dollars at the end of the day. I'm a Mitch Marner fan. I think he brings a lot, obviously, on the ice for the Leafs. I think he dictates a lot of the play. I think he does a lot of positive for sure on the ice. And I do believe that what he's doing for his sake, I'm kind of on his side. Even though I want him to play, I'm a Leafs fan. Yeah, 100%. I want him back on the ice. I want him playing for the Leafs for sure. Obviously, I grew up here. I'm a Toronto kid and all that. at the same time, it's business. And you got to look after yourself, your family. And he has a right to, his numbers show, his stats show, his play shows, that he has a number to dictate what he wants to do.
What do you think's going through his mind, though? I mean, you've been in this situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know how close to camp you've been, but I signed 1-year deals. I signed once in the middle of the season. Phoenix Coyotes offered me a 2-year extension. But for a guy like that, what do you think? I mean, if it's about the money, the rumor now is it's 11 for 7 years. And when your top guy, Matthews, is making 12 whatever, it's not far off. So what do you think's going through his head with, hey, I might sit out, I'm a hometown guy, and this is one of those things where it looks like it's more than money. This is personal now.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
I think that he, what's going through his mind, to answer your question, is obviously he's probably thinking this is taking a little bit longer than I anticipated. I thought probably he's thinking, hey, I probably should have had a deal done. I should be back in lineup or back and getting ready for training camp with the rest of the troops. On the selfish side of money-wise, I also think he's thinking at the same time, listen, Matthews, I think he's comparable to Matthews. I really do. I think he's doesn't score all the goals, but I think that his pace and his creativity and what he draws in from a lot of guys on the ice standpoints, I think it creates a lot of open ice for other guys. Coming off the flank, off the half wall. How many times have you seen, obviously easy slam dunks in front to Tavares, cross ice feeds. I think he does a lot of great things. Obviously, yes, as any young guy, you'd like to be out there. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure there could be more to it. That I do not know, to be honest with you. But I do think he has a right to hold his stance.
Here's where I see the personal part of what Elliot's saying. He's saying, and this is Marner, you're not making an example of me. Austin got his money at 11.5-ish. You brought John Tavares in as an unrestricted free agent for $11 million. William Nylander sat and sat and sat and sat, and the money kept going up and up and
yes.
up and up. And then on December the 1st, phone calls were made. Are we going to do this? The answer on both sides was yes. Bing, bang, boom. Nylander stunk last year. But the bottom line is, as good or as bad as Nylander played last season, as good or as bad as he will play going forward, he got paid. Mitch Marner, it just happens to be, is the last of this group of young superstars to come up for a contract. Well, he did at the same time mm-hmm. as Matthews, but Austin got his done late last season. Mitch Marner will not be made an example of. Kyle Dubas did not make an example, couldn't have, out of Matthews, did not make an example out of Nylander, probably should have in hindsight, and Mitch Marner is not going to take a dime less than what he feels he is worth because he saw his two teammates who were in that cluster with him get what they wanted.
If you're Toronto, you have to. It had to be Nylander.
It
was the perfect.
It was never going to be Matthews. He's the best player.
It was the perfect situation. Him sitting out to make an example of him to stand strong. And when you have Nylander's camp calling you at the 11th hour, that is the perfect time. It would have been a 3 years. Here's your $4 million. If you don't want it, go to Europe. Situation or get him for less than what they got him at.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happens, now everybody's going to be lining up and doing the same thing. But when you're Marner, you have to look at the situation and say, well, is this just Toronto not want me at this number, or they don't have the space or don't want to make the space for me? So that's what I think players are dealing with internally. It's mm-hmm. it's like, what? So there's $10 million available. Okay, that's what I'm going to sign for. I don't think Marner's doing that. It's I want the 12 or whatever number he's coming after.
Yeah.
And you make space for me. You make it happen. And I don't want to be the guy that takes less.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, and.
Well,
what do you think you should do?
Marner?
Yeah.
It's tough when you're a hometown guy like this and you got that kind of money, 11, you're just coming off your entry deal, which was 900,000. Not million. I mean, we have to start talking.
900 million wouldn't be bad.
it's difficult. So when you're 11 million at 7 years, that's tough to turn down. Because you got to remember, he's also making a lot off the ice. He's a hometown guy, and I'm not saying
that.
He shouldn't take the discount. But I'm with you. Make me one argument that Marner is not as good as Matthews. And I know what they are, a mm-hmm. centerman that scores 40 and hasn't played a full season yet. I'd be more concerned about a player from a health standpoint that doesn't, rather than look at it the other way and saying, okay, well, he just plays another 15 games. It's a 50 or 60 goal season. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Most people go the other way and say, well, he's not, He didn't play the full season. It could be even better. The projection could be even bigger. So from Marner's standpoint, I'm part of the group. No one's given me any or shown me anything where Marner is not worth what Matthews is. But very few people see that. And listen, when I played, I put a big value on centerman and the top six. And now I don't care if it's a winger or a centerman. They mean the same to me. And I don't see top six anymore. In today's NHL, it's top nine. Mm-hmm. So when I'm evaluating, those are the two things I've changed from being a player versus being now on this side of things.
MacArthur, Zygomanis, and Joel Ward at Sportsnet today, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So as we look at this now, to Elliot's point about not being able to speak about Marner without offending someone, all the takes are, well, you're into the jackpot now with the salary cap because Nylander's at a particular number, Matthews is at a number. Had you not brought in John Tavares, you wouldn't be in this situation right now. Except you're a better team with John Tavares than you are without him. So scratch that argument off the list.
Says who? Do we want to touch that?
Well, we do now. I mean, you can't pass gas in an elevator and that not own up to it. And that is the equivalent of passing gas in an elevator. Because there's a stench kicking around here.
What's changed from 2 years ago to last year?
Well, they haven't gotten deeper into the playoffs, if that's our barometer.
And that's what a lot of people are making it. Yes. And a lot of people and if you want to say him, you can say with Matthews, you say, well, he played great last year and he had a good playoffs. Until they get over that hump, that's
when they stand to get over that hump. They're more likely to get over that hump with JT on the team than not. Or is your argument, because we live in a capped universe, they have to shave around the edges now so they're not as deep, and that could cost them?
You have to be careful on who you go after. Listen, this situation we're sitting here in Toronto, 7-8 years ago, they couldn't get guys. So, yeah, when you get JT, I was shocked when he signed here.
But, do you think they signed him and assumed, with fingers crossed, that they would be able to get these young kids at more favorable numbers? Was that... There's a misread here, was that the fundamental misread of the situation?
They're going after the best players. Yeah, you're in a free agency. Yeah. You got to get the best guys you can, and that's the one way to build. Listen, there's many ways to build your team. You can do it in the draft and wait, and you sit there and suck up those years. You can be aggressive in free agency. You can do a little bit of both. You can go after value players. There's a lot of different ways to build your team, and this is just... I don't know what happens in their war room, but they went after JT because they wanted a number one set. I mean,
yeah, that's just a talent that you can't pass.
If you get a chance to get him.
Yeah,
he scored 47 goals.
Yeah,
here's the thing, the way I look at players and what they do, I don't look at what a guy, how many points he gets. It's, you have to look at a player. How does he fit with my team? I don't just want a guy that scores goals if he doesn't make me better.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that, and I've played with guys where, and Wardo, I mean,
I've seen.
Like, what, there's been guys you've played with that are great talents, but they're just like, they don't fit in our room.
But I'm not thinking of John Tavares when you make a comment like that.
I'm not saying it's him.
I'm thinking 88. Used to be 29. Nylander. Because the other take, guys, that you see on Twitter, and this is always a road that I hesitate to go down. Joel, I saw a tweet, so I'm going to take it to the radio and talk about it. Because I saw it on Twitter, so it must be true. But one of the takes you see on Twitter from the Nylander defenders, and I hate that we live in this world where there's like pro-Nylander, anti-Nylander, or pro-this-guy, anti-that-guy. It's stupid. Yeah. But one of the things... for lack of a better way to describe them, that you hear from the pro Nylander camp is that this contract is going to be of incredible value as the years go on. Okay, so let's just allow for that for the sake of this conversation. On an individualized and in a silo sense, quite possibly $6.9 million on a salary cap hit for William Nylander long term is okay. But is it okay on a team that as soon as a few weeks from now, if everything works out as we anticipate it will, there will be three players making eight figures? So Nylander alone, okay, we can have that conversation. But the problem is, in the broader context of the Toronto Maple Leafs, you're going to have four players accounting for half the cap with a defense that effectively is going to have to be overhauled in unrestricted free agency or via other avenues next year when Barry, CeCe, and Muzzin come up. 2 years from now, you've got to decide what the hell your goaltending is going to look like for the years going forward because Freddie's going to be up. And 3 years from now, three summers from now, summer of 2022, Morgan Riley is going to need a new contract. So it's not just Nylander in a silo or Marner in a silo. It's how do we build this thing out to maximize the window here and to ensure that everybody is paid appropriately such that they want to stay. And if we have to cut bait on a body or two because the salary cap dictates such, who's the guy or two that we're going to have to cut bait with eventually here? Because I'm telling you, one of these four guys, Matthews, Tavares, Marner, or Nylander, will not be here by the end of next summer. They won't be. One of them won't be.
I agree.
And the money dictates it.
They got their hands full. That's 100% guaranteed. That's just a lot of guys, a lot of money. Obviously, with the salary cap, they're in tough for sure. And as you said, one of those guys got to go. I obviously Nylander's case. You know what? He came in December, so I knew right off the hop there was no way that he could perform at the level that people thought. He was just going to come out of nowhere, play December, and score three or four goals a game. There's no way. But I definitely think he's going to have a lot better year, and you know his value is going to increase from there. And hopefully earn the dollar that he's making. But to go against and for Marner and his other guys, and Riley and CeCe and these guys, depending on the type of years. But, you know, Riley's made a strong case for himself now, obviously. And going back to Marner again, like I still don't think that he should take a home, quote-unquote, hometown discount. Because I think he has the right that he's earned to make top dollar on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And to see what Nylander came out of, I just think that he can hold his stance pretty firm.
It comes down to where are they on your chart, on your depth chart. Nylander, well, we're going to go Marner, Tavares, Matthews, Anderson, Riley, Nylander at six.
Did you put those top five in order, or did you just throw five names out?
I knew you would pick that apart. I put Marner at the top on purpose. I didn't do the rest of them, though. We can go and hit that right after.
I was going to say, if you're putting Austin three.
I saw the hair on the back of your neck just kind of go
But if you're putting Austin three, listen, I just don't want to get caught in the crossfire because you're going to get some social media, and I'm going to read some texts here.
Uh-oh. But we have not...
By the way, text to 590-590. 590-590.
Now, if you want, go on Twitter. Mike Zygmantis, hit me right. Let me stand up for yourself and make sure you back up what you're going to say. Don't just fire off tweets. Okay. It's when you're sixth on your depth chart and you're going to make that percentage of the cap, it will not work. You're not going to be able to fill your team with the puzzles unless you're going after extreme value, unless you're entry-level guys, unless you're Trevor Moores, they get three or four more of them a year, or your Johnsons and Kapanens come out with 40-goal seasons. It's just, I can't see it working. And that's just, it's not that the Leafs didn't do it the right way. It's not that these players are taking too much. It's the problem we have with the salary cap right now. And do things have to change there? Because look at these contracts, even Nylander's contract. And most people will say it's a bad contract. Would you agree? Or
well, he's going to have to play a hell of a lot better. And he's going to have to score 30-plus goals.
Okay. So
because he doesn't do it. So he doesn't do enough other than that.
So say he does what he's usually done, 20 goals, whatever, 50, 60 points. Mm-hmm. His $7 million or $6 million contract is not that bad. But when he signed it, even for what he did at the time, What was everybody saying in December? Wow, that's a crazy deal. $12 million guaranteed in 6 months. And then now, look where these contracts have gone. Like, did Kucherov not just sign for something over 4 years, five, like not many years ago? And all of a sudden now we're at $13 million? Like, it's really...
What did Tavares sign with the Islanders, his second deal? It was like 5 a year or something. It was ridiculous. It was like a 5 and 5 or something like that, right?
But do you understand
5 and 25, something
how
like
much... I don't remember a time where the contracts have changed this much from, I want to say year to year, but even month to month from 6 months ago to now.
But these are the superstars, right? These are the superstar RFAs that we're honing in on. And I think it gets back to the point that I made earlier, which is there is an understanding. We are seeing it, Joel, throughout sports. It's not just hockey. You're seeing it in baseball too, other sports. There's this notion now that when you get to 30 or north of 30, you're past your best before date. So these players are saying, fine, if you're not going to pay me at 28 or 29 for what I've done and what I may continue to do, you're going to pay me when I'm young based off of what you project me to do. And then it's my job to go out there and live up to it.
You know, obviously the dollars nowadays is it's gone through the roof. I mean, I got a chance to play with Ovi, and after seeing him play for a long time, I was like, wow. This guy has to be the highest paid player I've ever seen. Like, this has been unbelievable.
13 years, 124, right? So he's in that 9 range.
Yeah. So to see guys past that, to me, was insane.
And I know Sid got some 8-figure years, but he's got the $8.7 million cap hit, so it slides down, right?
So
I mean,
to see those guys making more than those guys, it's a new ballgame.
Yeah, it's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
As time goes on, things get more expensive, including players.